Are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. This repeats
Singh Four Kumaras.
Preetu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. Therefore, the king with all his officers
very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul.
Whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27, it is said, who knows the verse? Papa paraphrases here. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, the conditioned soul, influenced by the three modes of nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Here Srila Prabhupada says, every conditioned soul is influenced by a particular mixture of the modes of material nature. As such, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activity which he is forced to perform because he is completely under the influence of material nature. Here, Preetu Maharaj is compared to such a conditioned soul, not because he was a conditioned soul, but because he was so anxious to receive the Kumaras that it was as if without them he would have lost his life. How many of you have seen that picture of there's Pakitirtha Maharaj and the Dhrumaswami, and I'm just facing them is Radhanath Maharaj and Satchinandana Maharaj. And he's like, it looks like without Pakitirtha Maharaj, he would lose his life. The conditioned soul is attracted by the objects of sense gratification. His eyes are attracted to see beautiful things. His ears are attracted to hear nice music. His nose is attracted to enjoy the aroma of a nice flower, and his tongue is attracted to taste nice foods. Similarly, all his other senses, his hands, his legs, his belly, his genitals, his mind, etc., are so susceptible to the attraction of the objects of enjoyment that he cannot restrain himself. Preetu Maharaj, in the same way, could not restrain himself from receiving the four Kumaras, who were bright by dint of their spiritual progress. And thus, not only he himself, but also his officers and associates all received the four Kumaras. It is said, birds of a feather flock together. In this world, everyone is attracted by a person of the same category. A drunkard is attracted to persons who are also drunkards. Similarly, a saintly person is attracted by other saintly persons. Prithu Maharaj was in the topmost position of spiritual advancement, and as such, he was attracted to the Kumaras, who were of the same category. It is said, therefore, that a man is known by his company. Om Gyan Tu Nanda Shyaki Nanjana Samakaya Chakshur Kumunavikamaji Vaitasana Shudhuravimaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and the spiritual master was supposed to open my eyes for trust and knowledge, and my humble basis is unchanged. Manchikalpa Tarupyascha Kripasundhati Ekacha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama.
Today I'm going against my own rules because I'm giving a class without having prepared first, because I realized I became implicated because I was asked to give class on Thursday, but I told Manohaprabhu that I'm already busy preparing a few other classes, and I didn't want to spare the time. And he said, well, who can give class? I said, well, I can ask Kanchanvali. I didn't see Kanchanvali until late yesterday, and then I didn't remember. And it would have been too late anyways. But I didn't, and I was thinking this morning, no one's showing up, so here I am. So please bless me, all of us, love us, that I say something that might something that will nourish your spiritual life today. Well, this is a very nectarian section of the Bhagavatam. It's wonderful. But about King Prithu receiving the four Kumaras, just like a conditioned soul is attracted to the sense objects. I was looking through a Bhakti Gaudiya magazine just yesterday evening, and I saw this. Maybe you've seen this picture of, it's a terrible picture, it's a ghastly picture, but there's this man sitting on a couch, and he's obviously looking at a television, and then they've got all these big hands coming, grabbing at his tongue and his, and it's just a ghastly picture. Although I think it's quite, it's not an exaggeration, but to see it like that is quite horrific. How the senses are being forcibly drawn towards sense objects. This dilemma of the soul is so powerful that even Devahuti, she asked Kardama Muni, she said, it's as if the senses and the sense objects are just simply, they're just simply locked together, that they're meant for each other. And it feels like that too, doesn't it? It feels like that this sense object is just meant for this sense. Actually, Gurujanta, who made a wonderful comment on this, he said that when a person's senses become attracted to a certain object of sense enjoyment, it's as if the object starts to glow. It's almost like it starts to glow. Maybe not literally, and in some cases even literally, but you feel that something is glowing. Like, for instance, we know that has to do with sex attraction, that when one becomes attracted to a member of the opposite sex, then the person seems to emanate some kind of an effulgence. Everything about them becomes attractive. I remember when I was younger, and my intelligence would try to point out certain flaws in, because my mind tends to be very philosophical. Even in the most intense moments of trying to enjoy something, my mind always gets in the way. It doesn't stop me from enjoying, but it spoils the enjoyment by being too philosophical. So even if my mind would become attracted to somebody, my intelligence would try to say, well, look at this flaw and that flaw, like, forget it, you know, I'm busy now. But I would have to kind of force my mind to go beyond the natural flaws that are there in the physical body and mental approach of any conditioned soul. And that way, even if my mind is a bit philosophical, or if I'm a little philosophical inclined still, because I didn't have the shelter of Krishna, it's just as Prabhupada says here, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activities which he is forced to perform because he's completely under the influence of material nature. So to the extent that we're not busy actively trying to cultivate our relationship with Krishna, then to that extent we are forced to act by the modes of material nature under which we are born and which develop as we mature in this body. And of course, it's a wonderful comparison, a wonderful that in the very same way that soul is impelled forward by our senses, Maharaj Prithu was compelled towards the four Kumaras. He was so attracted to them. And this was the fulfillment of a promise that had been made to him. Who remembers who made a promise to Maharaj Prithu that you will get to see the four Kumaras? He was promised that, and pretty soon he was told, you'll get the association of such great souls as the four Kumaras. It was Lord Vishnu himself. Lord Vishnu was so attached to his devotees that he thinks it's even more wonderful for the soul to meet his devotees than it is to even meet him. I mean, Vishnu's already there in front of Maharaj Prithu and he's congratulating him how he's such a wonderful Vaishnava and he's so pleased with him. And said, pretty soon, you're going to get the association of the four Kumaras because of your advanced spiritual qualities, you'll deserve to get their association. So in the very same way that Maharaj Prithu was drawn towards Lord Vishnu when Lord Vishnu appeared, in the same compelled manner he was drawn towards the four Kumaras. Of course, Prabhupada talks here about how the senses are attracted to all the, how each sense is attracted to different sense objects. I was remembering the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj said it was like he was living with six wives. And these were his six senses, of course, which include the mind. And he was saying how the eyes are attracted to flickering scenes of sense gratification, the tongue is attracted to eating palatable food, and the belly, although full, still wants to eat more. And he said that the ears are attracted to cinema songs. I don't know if they had cinema songs during time at Paramahaj, but that's the book I translated. And he said, and these wives, these six senses are pulling him in six different directions. We also hear that, we have Nanana mentioned this in class the other day, that who was he talking about? That I think he was talking about Maharaj Prithu, I can't remember. That when he saw the Lord, all of his senses rushed forward toward the Lord to try to worship and experience the Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj also experienced that. Narada Muni also experienced. All of his six senses became separately enlivened. They all became, not to exploit the Lord, as in the material energy, when you want to enjoy something, you either have to devour it, you have to ravish it, somehow that it becomes, you're compelled by that sense object to try to exploit it. But that's not the same feeling, or the same experience that the senses had in contact with the Lord. Like when your spiritual master walks in, you're completely absorbed in him, but you're not thinking, how can you get something from him? You're thinking, how can you serve him? How can you absorb the nectar that's coming from his mouth? How can you assimilate the teaching so that you can serve his instructions better? It's a very liberating experience, a very uplifting experience. It's, although all the senses and all the mind, everything is completely absorbed, but it's not the same as when the senses are being pulled and pushed by the material senses or by the material energy. And then one becomes embarrassed because one can't restrain oneself. Such an embarrassing. We're eternal spirit soul, non-different from Krishna, have the same qualities as Krishna, and here we are being dragged around by this tongue and by all the other senses. Well, probably devotees feel it more as the tongue, because we know that that's the first sense that has to be controlled. In the 11th canto, in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava that by fasting, one can control all the senses except the tongue. Because when one gives up fasting, the tongue acts with redoubled strength. So the only way to control the tongue is by chanting Hare Krishna and honoring Prasadam in the appropriate mood. And then one, I know that the day that I'm spiritually advanced, but I'll sit in front of prasadam and I'll realize it's Krishna. Instead of trying to enjoy it, I'll, instead of being anxious that I'm going to eat too much, I'll be very anxious that I can please Krishna by honoring his prasadam. It says here that Prita Maharaj and the sages were very attracted to the Kumaras, who were very bright because of their advancement in spiritual life. I've actually been thinking about this song the whole morning because I've been thinking about, I think I might end up having to give this class. But about the four Kumaras, how they were very bright. I was thinking how they faltered. Who remembers a Gurukula song about that? Do you remember? I'll sing it okay because I like it so much. We are the four Kumaras. We look just 4 years old. Never want our senses to be out of control. We travel through the universe, chanting all the way. And now we've come to see our Lord Narayana today. It's a drama that the kids did, and then of course when they get there, the four Kumaras are told by the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, you can go away because you can come back in a few thousand years. And then, of course, the Kumaras become very angry. But the Kumaras, as Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was pointing out yesterday, they're pure transcendentalists, and they kept themselves, by their mystic power, they kept themselves in the condition of young boys, because young boys, 4 or 5 years old, are very innocent. Because their internal and external senses are not capable of feeling sex desire. So they didn't want to have to struggle at all with sex desire. But okay, we'll keep our intelligence very pure and advanced, and we'll keep our body very young. So everybody knows how adorable young children are. By their activities, they, even though Prabhupada says they seem quite foolish, like he says, a child can chew on his thumb and everybody thinks it's cute, but if an adult does that, he looks very foolish. So the four Kumaras are sitting there on the Vyasasan and getting their lotus feet. They're going to, you will see that they'll get the lotus feet washed by King Prithu. And they're going to, these little boys are going to start talking the highest transcendental knowledge about Lord Vishnu. I mean, what could be more charming? We're already very charmed when we hear a realized devotee speak about the glories of the Lord. And the glories of the Lord start to become a little more close to our heart, a little more dear to our heart. Some realization takes place when we hear about the glories of the Lord in the association of pure devotees. That is recommended. I think it's by Kulad Maharaj that in the association of pure devotees, or maybe it's Sukadeva Goswami, that the topics of Krishna are very dear both to the ear and to the heart. And that by hearing this Krishna Katha in the association of pure devotees, one becomes advanced in spiritual life. One becomes free from anarthas, but becomes steady in his intention to serve the Lord. And eventually all the other stages of devotional service develop naturally up to the point of prema. Simply by hearing from the mouth of pure devotees. So that's why this hearing of Krishna Katha is also considered to be the proper medicine for the conditioned soul who's traversing the cycle of birth and death. It's a proper medicine for relieving him from his illusion. And therefore, only a person who knows the kind of person who will not be attracted to the topics of Krishna Katha. Yeah, butcher or a killer of his own soul. And remember one devotee, maybe you all remember that class, Jagannatha Prabhu, he sat here, he had to give a class, it was a topical class, and he was just talking, he spoke on this verse, he spoke very, very wonderfully about Krishna Katha and how Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, and Srila Prabhupada is so merciful, pure devotees are so merciful that they extend this knowledge, and only a conditioned soul who's a butcher cannot be attracted, and then he told us that he had been a butcher. He's the saintly person. You could never even imagine it. He's such a saint. Jagannath is such a saint. And then he was using this as the opportunity to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Chaitanya, even for butchers, for people who, and not just people who kill animals, but all of us who are killing our own soul by by not being able to become close to Krishna. And what does that mean to kill the soul? Prabhupada said that there's no question that the soul can be killed. So what does it mean that the soul is killed? Anybody have any suggestions?
That you have to continue in this material.
Yes. That you experience death not only once but many, many times. Any other thoughts on that?
It's Prabhupada explains the sense that Krishna gives the soul, means it gives a desire to serve Krishna.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Prabhupada said that it's not that the soul can never die, but for all practical purposes, when the soul is not connected with Krishna in devotional service, for all practical purposes, he's dead. And we can see here that when the four Kumaras came, it was as if King Prithu regained his life, although he was already so enlightened. He was such an advanced, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. But in the association of pure devotees, it was as if he had regained his life. I remember one time I was in kirtan and I was thinking, you know, today I'm going to try to be enthusiastic in the kirtan. And I realized that I don't know anything about enthusiasm. I started thinking about Srila Rupa Goswami and how he's recommending that one has to be enthusiastic, one has to be patient, one has to be confident. And I thought, I don't know what enthusiasm is. Srila Rupa Goswami knows what enthusiasm is. Enthusiasm means, real spiritual enthusiasm means that one does not have to struggle to be enthusiastic. His enthusiasm, just as the enthusiasm of a conditioned soul propels him to work for material enjoyment, the enthusiasm of a pure devotee impels him to work for the pleasure of Krishna and for the upliftment of all conditioned souls. It's a driving force. He can't restrain himself. Prabhupada couldn't restrain himself. Prabhupada had gotten so many instructions by doctors that he had to eat this and he couldn't go here and he couldn't do this and he couldn't do that. And Prabhupada would think about it. And then he'd tell everybody, let's go. We're going to this preaching program. Or his sister would cook samosas for him, and because she cooked them with so much love, he would eat samosa. It was all based on loving exchanges and pure devotional service. And he couldn't control himself, and he didn't want to control himself. And the devotees couldn't control him either. And he was it wasn't that he was a person with uncontrolled senses. It was simply that he was being driven by another kind of energy. He was being driven by the internal energy of the Lord. And therefore, his impetus in life had to do only with loving exchanges between himself and Krishna, and between Krishna's and him and Krishna's devotees. And also, he extended that to try to preach the message of pure devotional service. As Prabhupada was tasting the highest nectar of selfless surrender to Lord Chaitanya and to his spiritual master, he was anxious. And this is what happens naturally. When one becomes advanced in spiritual life, he can't tolerate that people don't know about this. He can't tolerate that Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. He can't tolerate that there's so much ignorance and suffering in the world, and he goes around what we might be considered like a bad man, just trying to preach with, maybe you remember Govinda Maharaj sitting on the Vyasa Path screaming, wake up! Wake up! Anybody who's falling asleep in those classes didn't have a chance. But now when you hear him, he's not talking just to the physical body, he's talking to the soul. Wake up. He was extremely anxious that we wake up and that we taste this nectar, this eternal nectar of Krishna Bhakti. And when we do taste that nectar, every time we come in contact with a limb of bhakti or with a devotee, our senses will become surcharged. And this will be our food, not anything else. And this is what's being offered to us. And the perfect example is Maharaj Prithu, who was so excited to meet the four Kumaras, it's as if he had regained his life. So, thank you for listening patiently. If anyone would like to make a comment or a correction or maybe a question for a discussion, don't be shy. We have 10 minutes or so. Yes? Yeah. Did you want to say the story? Should I say the story? Lord Chaitanya heard this beautiful singing in the Jagannath temple, singing the Gita Govinda, which is a very intimate pastime between Radha and Krishna. He became completely captivated. And he just was just running to embrace whoever it was. But finally, his servant was, with great endeavor, caught him just before he reached the Devadasi and restrained him and said, "My Lord, it's a woman." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, thank you. Govinda, you saved my life." Because Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the example of pure sannyasi, and everyone knows that a sannyasi is forbidden to embrace a woman. Actually, Indrajumna Swami said that. Indrajumna Swami, some years ago, he took a trip down the Amazon River with many devotees on a preaching tour. And he was seeing the flesh-eating piranhas in the water. Or sometimes, he said he would rather lose his life in the teeth of these piranhas than to lose his sannyas in the arms of a woman. That's the kind of determination it takes. That's the kind of determination it takes to maintain sannyas. And one must have this kind of determination that even if there's attraction, which there always will be, according to the Bhagavad Gita, that the senses are like rivers that are always flowing into the mind. But because the mind of a pure devotee is like a great ocean, no matter how much rivers pour into the ocean is never disturbed. It never overflows its banks. So similarly, a pure devotee, even though he may perceive to some extent how the senses are trying to draw him, he doesn't overflow his self-restraint. Because he has this determination. He has this, that he'd rather die than break his promise. So, and there is the example, there's a precedent for that in Chota Haridas. He didn't even break his promise. He just glanced at a young woman accidentally. Manasi, do you want to say something more? So this kind of determination can be there for someone who has tasted something of the nectar of devotional service to Krishna and he wants more. And he knows that in order to get more, he has to sacrifice this other part. So our Yadananda Prabhu will pretty soon be taking the vow of sannyas. And we must all pray to Krishna for that he can continue on his valiant journey, which has been so glorious so far, and that he can, just like when Krishna was born, all these ladies were saying, "May you live long and protect us." So we must ask such sadhus like Yadananda, may he, his sannyas prevail, that he can protect us and be another one of the shining beacons that's drawing us towards the lotus feet of Krishna, or another one of those saintly persons that's protecting our devotional creature from being invaded by the mad elephants of offensiveness to devotees or to the Lord. Any other points or thoughts? Yes, I'm going to.
I was thinking when you said it's called for trying to silence to like our bitter spirit and decided to state this voice of children, then I was wondering then did they have some special blessing, some special power, because otherwise some other yogis could also decide to do that and kind of protect themselves from falling down. Did they have some special?
Yes, definitely it's extraordinary. Weren't they the firstborn sons of Lord Brahma? And Lord Brahma wanted them to produce children, and they said, I remember correctly, he wanted to produce children, and they were the first that came out of his mind, actually. I can't remember if it's mind or his heart. I think it was mind, yeah. So they are the incarnation of Vedic knowledge. So they were very special. They were extraordinary. It's true that no one else can do that. Maybe some other great soul can do it, but they're the only ones that we know of that did it. So they're, yes, very special power. Honestly?
This quality of the devotee, even though they're in an adult body, they still have a word about them as being very fresh and innocent, you know, because they're not contaminated by lust and desires.
Srila Prabhupada, Saint Prabhupada, just, for me, Saint Prabhupada, I could understand something about what it must be like to be around God. Because what was drawn out of the heart was a complete desire to serve. And he didn't even have to know it was you. He just wanted to somehow be instrumental, because you knew that the only way that you could make him happy was by some kind of Krishna conscious activity. So that would be the purest. He was bringing out the purest in others because he was completely pure. So we also experience that with our advanced Vaishnava God brothers and God sisters. They have a kind of innocence and purity about them that is very refreshing, very modern. Did you have some relaxation also? It's very desirable. Even Radha's and Krishna's most intense conjugal pastimes have that same purity. It's something quite inconceivable. And that's very special about our tradition, that we don't want to participate directly with Krishna in loving pastimes, but we want to be instrumental, like the Manjaris. It's a very special feature that... And the Manjaris are understood to be very, very young and innocent, and interested only in doing humble services so that Radha and Krishna can be together.
Yeah, I did have one experience that I met the devotees when I was 19, and at that point I was materially young, but I felt like a jaded old hag, like a very old person, you know, because of being contaminated by so many sinful desires and sinful activities, and I thought, you know, how can I go through my life like this? I was already feeling like such an old, ancient person that I was sick of the world and, you know, felt disgusted with myself and disgusted with everything. But then, when you're involved in pure spiritual activities, you know, by the mercy of the devotees, all of a sudden you feel like you've got a new lease on life, you know, like you're young and fresh again. You've been given a chance, again, purity. So that's quite... quite special, quite miraculous. You do look at people in the material world, and the more they're engaged in sense gratification, even though they're young, they look old. Mm-hmm. They don't look fresh in any sense. Even the children these days.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little girl come up here one time, and told me it was horrific. She was like, maybe 8 or 9. I'm not going to repeat this joke. It had to do with some abortion. And it was just, that was like 30 years ago. She's 8 years old. See, of course, she didn't know what she was saying, but then on the other hand, devotees' lives, it's very good that we remember how pure and innocent our lives are and how much people in the world have to struggle. I remember I met one woman on Sankirtan. She wasn't much older than me at that time. I was probably close to 40 at that time. And she told me, I do everything that God has forbidden, and I'm happy. And I wanted to say to her, well, why do you look like you just got hit by a truck? She looked really bad, like what you were talking about, haggard, suffering. So it's very nice that we remind ourselves and each other that the life that we live is very pure, very innocent, very protected. And we're very grateful. Thank you for supporting us. I'm quite impressed, 9 years old, that you already sense the dreariness of it.
19.
Huh?
19.
Oh, I thought you said 9 or 10. Oh, I thought you said 9 or 10 years old. I thought, oh, that's really young. 19, okay. Yes.
It was great.
Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Please forgive any inadvertent comments I may have made. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.